Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome, welcome. This is Twani here. I hope you are doing lovely today. So let's tune into Cautious Relationships. Today, I would like to share with you something about the healing of the heart chakra. The heart chakra develops around 4 to 7 years of age. Our heart space governs our ability to show love, to be compassionate, and to be tolerant. An active heart chakra allows us to feel fully and to share our experiences with others. We are able to communicate with love, and we do things out of the goodness for ourselves and others. When our heart chakra is fully connected, we feel a deep sense of love for ourselves, and that radiates to others in our lives. Now, when it is imbalanced, we are fearful to love, we are unable to show compassion, we have bitterness, we have heart walls, boundaries, guarded, we feel guarded, we have walls around people, we are unable to determine our own worth, we are in a place of lack of self-love, and we often self-sabotage our creation. A heart chakra imbalance may also look like self-abandonment. Means we do not allow ourselves to open our hearts to other people. When it is in a balanced state, there's an ability to love and share our vulnerable side. Compassion and tolerance are easy to offer, and we love ourselves deeply and unconditionally. Now, the needs or the issues to look into while healing the heart chakra is mainly love, balance, self-love, relationship, intimacy, devotion, reaching out and taking in, that is, be able to receive love and give love, right? This chakra is all about love, the ways in which we allow love into our lives and the ways we express it to ourselves and the people around us. To love and share love is a natural feminine power. It's our feminine side. It's our emotional side. And the divine feminine energy within us, the Shakti within us, thrives on exchanging love, including love to self. So, I want you to do a practice. Visualize a golden beam of light starting from the heart and growing larger until it encapsulates your whole body, the room in which you reside, and the community around you. This golden beam of light is the love your feminine side chooses to actively share. Regardless of you are a man or a woman, we all have our feminine sides, and it is important to acknowledge it. When we give love and practice loving kindness, we strengthen our divine feminine. Ask yourself, how do I practice self-acceptance, self-love, and self-care? In what ways do I show love to the people around me? What is my language of love? When you touch the celestial in your heart, you will realize that the beauty of your soul is so pure, so vast, and so devastating that you have no option but to merge with it. You have no option but to feel the rhythm of the universe and the rhythm of your heart, as said by Amit Ray. In the wake of conceitedness and geocentrism, you know, where I, me, is the center of it all, feelings like love, compassion, and empathy are fast losing their true meaning. When we refer to ourselves physically, we indicate ourselves by pointing towards the heart center. Yes, this is the power of the heart, the seat of the soul, the place where your true identity exists. This source of an individual being is located at the center of the seven major chakras, right? The fourth chakra, integrating the top three spiritual chakra and the bottom three material chakras. Anahata chakra in Sanskrit means something that cannot be destroyed. Similarly, the same philosophy, when applied to the self, it is the soul that can never be destroyed, right? As it is beyond the realm of the physical world. The heart and the lungs are the main organs in the body because they are responsible for the distribution of nutrition across the whole body. Now, the thymus gland, which programs and stimulates the immune system of the body, is associated with the heart chakra. Those of you who are interested in biology must be knowing this. Since the heart is associated with the self, it directs the immune system through thymus gland to destroy anything that is self-destructive in nature. With the symbol of a star, the heart chakra is the meeting place of the divine and the self. The downward facing triangle in the star symbol is the downward descent of the energy from the supreme power, the source energy, whereas the upward facing triangle is the instinctive physical energy extruded from us as a result of being on this fourth plane, our mental body. And the intersection of the two is where the heart chakra resides. It is rightfully associated with the element of air, for air is all permeating. Similarly, the self is also universally permeating and has no shape or size, right? The heart energy center is connected to the sense of touch. Not only does it use the hand and feet, but also receptors of other organs to facilitate a grounding experience. A well-balanced heart chakra can help us transform the negative emotions into positive ones. I do not believe in negative and positive, but you can say as low frequency to high frequency. Devotion, compassion, religious and spiritual sentiments are all derived from the heart, the feelings. But what happens if we have an imbalanced heart energy center? Now, due to an energy deficit in this chakra. One can experience problems like lack of ample of blood circulation and blood pressure high or low. The upper extremities are impacted here, causing lung diseases, breast related problems, pain in the upper back, shoulders or wrists, asthma or allergies. So this is how you know by your physical body that your heart chakra is imbalanced and you need to heal it. These are just physical signs. Low immunity is also another obvious result of an underactive heart chakra, causing the person to fall prey to diseases very easily. On the other hand, excess of immunity can lead to autoimmune diseases. Also, feeling of rejection, speaking about on the emotional side, feeling of rejection, loneliness, depression are also a cause of deficient energy in our heart chakra. As the sufferer is unable to develop a meaningful connection with others, he generally stays on the superficial plane. That person does not go deeper. They have a low sense of self, which creates behavioral issues like narcissism, which again cost them their connection to the world. And an excess of energy can create an overflow of emotions, which can create feelings like jealousy, attachment to worldly things, clinginess, and lack of self-independence. The sufferer is constantly dependent on others for self-fulfillment, self-validation, and faces deeper insecurities that he may not show actually on the outer facade. Yet another obvious negative impact of an imbalanced heart chakra here is no or little warmth, compassion and devotion. You know, you're very cold, detached, completely detached, not in a good way, in a bad way, I can say. Such people are mostly worried and lost in their own needs, desires and wants. They just think about me, I, and have very little time to look compassionately towards those around them. Okay, so let's jump on to certain ways of healing our heart chakra. The first simplest way is the color therapy. Every chakra, you know, has its associated color or frequency to it, right? So the instinctive color of the heart chakra is green. Green is a healthy color. It promotes a general feeling of well-being and good health. This color brings to mind thoughts and feelings of compassion, kindness and love. Green can make you feel healthy, alert and empathetic. So in order to activate or balance our anahata, it is advisable that one should, you know, wear green colored clothes, eat green colored food like green leafy juicy vegetables and fruits, and see or smell green colored things, basically involving all the five senses with the color green. is the key to balance. Now, heart chakra can also emit pink colored wavelengths. So this type of energy is a mix of the crown, that is our seventh chakra, which has a white color frequency, and our root, that is our first chakra, which is associated with a red color. So this represents the physical and the metaphysical need for love, means physical love meeting with the divine love, that is the heart chakra. So pink is the color of universal love, emotional love of self and others, friendship, affection, harmony, inner peace. It has both fire and air elements, and that is red and white. It is, you know, generally gives us the feeling of being gentle, casual, approachable, and it is symbolic of happiness and contentment, calmness, acceptance, relaxation, self-worth. These are all feminine qualities, so it's a more feminine color. After color therapy, the second very easy one is greenery and nature, right? The color of the heart chakra is green and pink. So, and there's a lot of green and pink available in the nature, right? Green plants, pink flowers, beautiful pink flowers. For those of us whose heart chakra is blocked or imbalanced, must spend time in nature, walking on the grass with bare feet can help the person connect with the energy of Mother Earth or Mother Gaia and soak in the richness, can be nourished. Also, having plants in the house and watering them, or pursuing gardening as a hobby daily, will open up, or regularly will open up, the gates of compassion and love for other beings and self, of course. The next way is sound therapy. The root sound of the heart chakra, or the Bija mantra, which every chakra has. Heart chakra's Bija mantra is Yam. Okay, Y-U-M, Yam. So in order to work on the same frequency, you can chant this mantra. Just as we chant Om, simply be seated in a comfortable position and start by chanting Yam multiple times, or you could also chant Om followed by Yam. This alternative pronunciation is responsible for reaching the highest point, because Om helps the practitioner reach the crown chakra, and from there on connect the heart chakra at the highest point with the frequency of Yam. The next way is by crystal therapy. Now, we all know that crystals have a healing capacity. Most of us wear crystals, right? As lockets or rings or anything. They can rectify the discrepancies found in the astrological charts. But crystals could also compensate for a chakra imbalance in the body. Wearing green and pink color crystals like rose quartz, aventurine, emerald, jade, or malachite will be beneficial. But in the long run, You have to have patience. Now the next way is by mudra. Heart chakra's mudra is the Padma mudra. It is a lotus inspired mudra and calls forth new possibilities and invites in love. It's open, you know, its form is open. With your palms at your heart, touch the outer edges of both pinky fingers, last fingers and thumbs together. Keep the heels of the palms pressed together as you blossom open through your hands. Like a flower, you know, extend through the tips of all 10 fingers. This is the Padma Mudra. There are certain yoga poses. It is no secret that yoga poses have the ability to balance the chakras, and with the help of certain poses, you can hope to rectify the problems associated with specific chakras. Even if you have a well-balanced chakra, practicing yoga or practicing certain exercises can benefit you to maintain your chakras or maintain your body, maintain your frequency. Now, since the heart chakra is located in the thoracic region of the spine, there are a few postures you can try that can help alleviate the distress symptoms of this chakra. One is bridge pose or Setu Bandhasana. Forward bending or Uttanasana. Camel pose or Ustra Asana. And Cobra pose or Bhujang Asana. These are a few heart opening poses: bridge pose, forward bending, camel pose, cobra pose. You can do any one of them, all of them. It is according to your requirement or comfort or ability even. Now, opening the heart chakra involves taking down those defenses to experience the love that is the natural state of our being. So one of the most important way to heal our heart chakra is forgiveness, practicing forgiveness. One of the many reasons for a blocked heart chakra is to hold grudges, hold emotions inside you, pain and hurt from our past experiences. So the only way, most important way actually, is to heal this chakra is to forgive and forget. As difficult as it may sound, I understand, you have to trust this process. Letting go is a challenging task, I know, for many. But those who overcame this barrier can vouch for the fact that is so unburdening. Forgiveness means a lot of things to different people. For some, their religion or culture strongly guides their perspective. Forgiveness, I feel, is removing our ego from the situation in order to clearly understand it. Forgiveness is actually more about us than the other person in question, who supposedly has hurt us. It liberates us from the bondage of their so-called betrayal and no longer carrying them as an esoteric passenger in our psyche, you know. Their energy is all along with us. In every experience, it adds on its frequency until and unless we are able to forgive and let go. This actually blocks us from moving forward, actually moving forward in our lives. Forgiveness is refusing to drink the poison of a grudge or hate. It is letting go of anger and resentment, not for someone else's sake, but for our own. It is basically choosing to prioritize our emotional well-being by transforming destructive emotions into compassion for ourselves and sometimes others too. Forgiveness is for the forgiver, not the forgiven. So, we must always work on forgiving ourselves, releasing the burden of the pressure we put on ourselves, you know, for mistakes and our regrets and perceptions of how we should have acted differently, should have made a better decision. Forgiveness is simply self-love. It is true form of self-love. In truth, forgiveness is an act of compassion. And if you are willing to look closely enough, you will see that an act of compassion for yourself is intrinsic, related with compassion for another also. And therefore, it is compassion for all of mankind. So the act of forgiveness toward anybody is an act of grace for all of us, as it removes the negative ties that connect us and result in a collective bitterness that is interchanged via everyday interactions at mundane places like the grocery store, bus stop, with neighbors, in fact, also in our homes and families. So choosing to fully vindicate feelings of resentment will simultaneously tip the universal scale of love a little closer in the right direction. It's a choice that you can make. Now here I would like to share a mythological concept with you. Hanuman, who is known as the great monkey god in Hinduism, is one of the most influential stories of the human condition known to mankind, right? Each of the gods from the Hindu pantheon represent an archetype of the human condition or emotion or characteristic, and that of the enlightened mind. Hanuman is the archetype of our innate animalistic nature, that is the monkey mind, that can be transcended by entering into the portal of the heart. The monkey mind, known as Chittavritti in Sanskrit, is the human condition in various manifestations that we are constantly trying to diffuse, train, or rid ourselves of, run away from. So this aspect of ourselves is the reason almost all of us, you know, turn to spiritual practices, as it is the root of most suffering. Chitta vritti, that is the monkey mind, is the jumping from one thought to the next endlessly. The constant reaching for the next moment, the nearest sense of pleasure, the next survival need, the cycles and habitual patterns that slowly, without us noticing, begin to dominate our psyche, our personality, our thought process, our actions, and then our character. It is the animal within that is seeking constantly ways to survive. Our ego is seeking the ways to survive in this egoistic or animalistic world, material world, desperately trying not to suffer by feeding the very aspects of our nature that are causing our suffering, and continuing to do that all over again, again and again. So the story of Hanuman is considered as one of courage, devotion, and the purest form of faith. His love and servitude to Lord Rama from the pivotal Indian epic, the Ramayana, is beyond inspirational and is known as one of the most influential stories of Indian culture due to what we can learn from the story of the great monkey god. It is mainly associated with devotion, right? So what does this devotion really mean? We often associated the word devotion or faith with devoting ourselves to an external source with pure blind faith and with religious ceremony or ritual. Though all of these can be true and powerful forms of devotion, the story of Hanuman is that of devotion through awareness of self. Hanuman is the embodiment of the unruly mind that has evolved into a higher state through love and devotion of the higher self, our divine nature, the presence of the Lord or the God or the source within our heart. In other words, the idea of devotion isn't about bowing our heads to an external source. When we align the heart with the mind through focusing our awareness through the heart, when we are in our heart space, we realize that we are the source, right? Our devotion becomes that of something that is living within us as well as all around us. As above, so below; as within, so without, right? When we align the heart with the mind, we see that in others also. Our devotion becomes something that we see within us and others also. And we bow our heads to every aspect of humanity, divinity, and the union of it all coming together as one. We are all one, right? One of the greatest lines from the story of Hanuman is Ram asking Hanuman, "Who are you, monkey?" And Hanuman responds with, "When I don't know who I am, I serve you. When I know who I am you." Through these words, we understand that our quest to devotion can begin with devoting ourselves to something higher, sometimes without quite understanding what that might be. And through that continuous faith and discipline of the mind, we transcend the awareness and become one with it. We become one with devotion and faith itself. Now, what is faith? True faith is experiential. The idea of faith is difficult to grasp because it is often associated with blindness. Because faith is often intangible, we expect it to be something we believe in without actually experiencing, right? However, Hanuman teaches us that it is through faith that we experience the true reality of existence. Though it may begin from a place of unknowing, the idea of faith is that we believe there is something greater on the other side. We are trusting in the higher awareness of the heart that we will experience what we are looking for, right? We will reach what we desire. It is through this trust and faith of the heart in ourselves that we begin to explore the higher plane of consciousness that an evolved mind is capable of. Without this faith, it wouldn't be possible to reach, because we would continue cycling through what is comfortable. The monkey going back to its animalistic ways, we cannot come out of our comfort zones. In comfort zones, growth is stagnated. So how do we practice this faith? It is a mystical idea, right? But it is not necessarily that difficult to put into practice. We can translate this idea into something large and complex, such as having faith in a higher being, the divine nature of all things, and the God or the source, whatever you call, within all of us. This is powerful and helpful in all aspects of our lives. But if we aren't there yet, there are different ways we can view this concept. For instance, how often do we find ourselves stuck in the same patterns, the same cycles, same experiences keep repeating itself, the same animalistic nature that seem to govern our existence, our life, no matter how much we loathe it? Perhaps we reach for chocolate every time we become stressed, and every time we reach for it, we know how uncomfortable we are going to feel afterward. We know how we are going to make ourselves suffer. But we do it anyway because it is comfortable. And what our human condition has come to know as the answer, comfort zone. What if in these instances of cycles, addictions, or habitual patterns, instead of feeding the cycle that we know causes us pain and suffering, we take an enormous leap of faith that there is something bigger and more powerful just waiting for us on the other side? What if we turn to our trust within the heart, within ourselves, and had faith that all the power we are seeking within an external source, all the happiness that we are seeking in an external source is actually already within us? The power is here. The power is now. The power is living where we have always been afraid to look, and that is deep inside of us, ourselves. The first step is to face ourselves. This is where practices such as yoga, meditation, various other spiritual practices can help guide us within these faith-based concepts. They provide us with the tools and understanding when the human condition becomes too much to bear. They provide us with guidance of how to use our bodies, minds, and energy as vehicles to better understanding the self and our true nature. Let's do a short practice to open the heart. When the heart is closed, it is difficult to find our sense of trust and awareness within it, right? So, let's begin sitting in a comfortable position, in a quiet and open space. Perhaps outside, in nature, or within an open area of your room. Start settling into the body. Release any tension you may be holding in your jaw, forehead, or eyes. Allow the eyes to softly close and your spine to straighten. Create space across the chest without adding any extra tension or discomfort into the body. Sit on some height or add blocks underneath the legs for extra support. Now, as you settle in, begin to contemplate what is happening within your body in this moment. That the only intention your body ever has is to keep you alive, to keep producing cells, to keep your heart beating, to keep protecting you from external forces. How perfect is that, right? Contemplate the fact that in this moment your body is living just for the purpose of creating a home in which you can thrive. Soften even more. Take deep breaths and smile. Air breathing in, air breathing out, air breathing in, and air breathing out. Now, take your fingertips and stroke your arm. Feel the sensation of the two pieces of you touching. Trail your fingertips up and down each arm, across the heart, up into the neck, and stroke your cheeks, lips, and eyes. Feel and experience every moment of this miraculous sensation. Without feeling awkward. Once you have settled in completely and felt your body, release your hands and bring them into prayer position at your heart center. Bring your hands into Lotus Mudra. Keep the bottoms of your palms, thumbs, and pinky fingers connecting, and open up your middle three fingers, creating a flower shape in your hands. Once you are here, begin chanting the Bij Mantra, Yam. Yam is the seed mantra connected to the heart center. Emphasize the syllables and extend each syllable as long as possible, ending with the lips touching to create the vibrational sound, right? Continue with these rolling mantras for as long as you'd like. If you would like a time, go for at least 3 minutes. And when finished, bring the hands on top of the chest, left hand on the heart, right hand on the left. Pause. Listen to the sounds of your own heart. Experience your individual piece of the universal hum. I deeply and completely love and accept myself. I am open to love. I nurture my inner child. I am wanted and loved. I live in balance, in a state of grace and gratefulness. I forgive myself. I am connected with other human beings. I am grateful for the challenges that help me transform and open up to love. I am open to love and kindness. Now, since the sense of touch is associated with this chakra, in order to heal it, we have to draw our attention away from this sense and experience stillness. Practicing a heart chakra meditation can be the best way to experience a sense of stillness. Just imagine a shaft of green or pink light falling on the crown, top of your head, and flowing into the body and nourishing the heart chakra. As this happens, the heart chakra grows bigger and shinier. With love being the core emotion of it all, take some time out to truly love yourself and others by removing the burden of expectations. It is not necessary to have anything in return because the universe is abundant. And the more you love, you know, the more love you give away, the universe will find a way to give back more love to you. And while meditating, focus your prana on the heart. Breathe and be breath. Breath is very important. Concentrate on your breathing. Imagine vital air emanating from this chakra, resonating through your body and out, connecting you to the greater cosmos. Feel the life-giving air invigorate and rejuvenate your heart chakra. Imagine this connection nourishing your soul, bathing your heart and skin in healing spirit. Touch. Touch is important for this chakra. So feel. Feel the cosmos pressing against your skin. Feel your skin absorbing the cosmos. And then realize, in the deepest, most fundamental part of yourself, that there is no separation. Disconnection is an illusion. We are always connected to everything. Awareness is the key. We become more aware by being and becoming with each breath. The door of life has been opened. Allow the vital breath to guide you up to the next level, to the fifth chakra, the throat chakra, the Vishuddha. Well, that was all for now. So stay tuned till my next episode. The purpose is to share and spread love. God bless you in your beautiful journey of life. And please share this episode so that more and more people can benefit. And click the subscribe button and especially the bell icon for my YouTube viewers, so that you get notified every time I upload a new episode. And you're more than welcome to join our Facebook group, Conscious Relationships, or follow me on Instagram, conscious.relationships. The link is in the description box below or in the About section. Okay, so I'll leave you with that. Thank you so much for listening. And have a good time. Bye-bye.